You're listening to episode 107, February 2020.
Join me, animal naturopath Dr. Kim Bloomer, host of the Doggone Truth podcast, where I don't whitewash, I just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. It's natural, it's raw, it's the bomb-ified truth. Can you dig it? If you really want to dig in, then go to www.doggonetruth.club.
Hello, I'm Dr. Kim. I'm your host. And this is part four of the four-part allegorical series. And this one is entitled, The Scent of the Scent. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 16, New King James Version. The spiritual allegory, the black knight, fierce seer in the night, had his nose bent to the ground yet again. To him, the fragrance of life and death was always all around him. He loved to dig deep into the earth to unearth both the dead and the living things. Rotting leaves or fresh roots was all the same to him as it was the fragrance of all that makes him canine, living through the intensity of scent. She was watching the fierce seer dig, 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 then gnaw, gnaw, gnaw. She wondered if he knew that he was the purveyor of death to so much flora and fauna. She also knew that from the death of those, much more life will one day come. Most likely when the fierce seer was grown and older. She longed to see the beauty of life and scent flowing within that portion of her yard again. But alas, it may need to wait another year or so. Fierce seer found sheer delight in running this part of the yard that was left to its wild nature, much like himself. He was inherently wild, as his breed is still found living wild in the southern part of the country. He felt that call of the wild all the time, especially when he visually saw and scented the wild ones living all around them. He wasn't fond of the wild ones, so much as ready to do battle, as his breed and the wild ones were very often at odds, as it's how nature often operates in the world. Competing carnivores aren't fond of each other. She watched him one afternoon as the wild ones raced down a well-worn path by their horse-fenced yard. The wild ones were so big, but that didn't seem to intimidate Fierce Seer. Hackles raised as he ran after them within the safe confines of their yard. She was ever fascinated by both the wild ones and the reaction of Fierce Seer to them. He would combine a bark and howl together unlike anything she had ever heard. He sensed and scented the difference between them and those of his own kind, and yet recognized their similarities as canids. She began to ponder if this is in part how it may be like with those who are the scent of the white light versus those who aren't. Those who aren't the scent, S-E-N-T, yet often mock and denigrate those who are. They growl in their intensity against them more and more in the world nowadays. She never remembers, though, feeling the need to mock before she became one of the scent. She simply noticed how different some of the scent were, and it was those that drew her to the white light. She knows now it was actually the white light within each of them that drew her to himself. One day in the not-so-distant past, she recalled exactly how the white light can do that very thing in the natural as well. He can draw us through a scent, S-C-E-N-T, so we decide to become the scent, S-E-N-T. One summer morning, a couple of years ago, she was already one of the scent for a very long time at this time. She was on her usual early morning walk with Beauty Queen, way before Fierce Seer was even a human thought. She was bemoaning the ongoing drought that deprived her of the stunning beauty of the desert blooms of spring and early summer. She longed to see, smell, and experience. She was feeling rather sorry for herself, truth be told. Beauty Queen was just happily ambling along, scenting all that is available to those of the canine persuasion, especially in the warm months full of life all around. They don't bemoan what isn't visible. The scent ought to not either, as they know that faith in part is the evidence of things not seen. She whined anyway, even worse than the fierce seer can do in his dramatic puppy way. And then it happened. She was about to pass by during her wine fest a wild bush, but suddenly she noticed it covered in its telltale tiny purple flowers all over it. In fact, it was loaded down with flowers. None of its kind all around have flowers, only this one bush. She leaned in to get a scent, and the beauty of that scent overwhelmed her. and she then knew this was another gift from the white light. He comforted her sorrow and provided a visual as well as the scent of his love through this one bush. He did similar with Moses, if we know our scriptures, didn't he? This bush smelled to her like what she imagined heaven smells like. It was his scent. She'll never forget it. She also never forgets that his scent is exactly what the scent are supposed to smell like in their attitudes and actions all the time, even when they don't feel like it. She must remember to diffuse the fragrance of him always. The fierce seer looked up from his latest dig fest, received the pat on his head from the white light, and smiled as only canines can. And once again, he had done well, and Beauty Queen smiled on from heaven. She never knew the transaction that she, meaning her, the woman, never knew the transaction that had just transpired, but she did know that the white light never does anything without love because he is love. Here's the temporal story that manifested the allegory. Dr. Doug Corgan, whom you've heard me talk about before, posted this to his Deep Thoughts group on Facebook. It's a public group you can join, by the way, on January 22nd, 2020. And he's been doing a whole series. He does a lot of series of articles, every day a new article. And this one is on biomimicry. This one is part 158. Quote, scientists have been researching the ability of dogs to detect cancer in someone's body using their olfactory system. And dogs have approximately 300 million olfactory receptors, which is 50 times more than a human. They can detect and discriminate odors that are present in the air at ultra-low concentrations. Unlike humans, their sense of smell is divided into left and right nostrils separately. And this stereoscopic processing of odor information enables them to form a three-dimensional map of where odors are coming from. In scientific studies, dogs have been trained to detect cancer by smelling someone's skin, urine, blood, or breath. They have proven to be able to accomplish this accurately and consistently. Scientists believe that cancer cells emit certain volatile compounds that are not released by healthy cells, and it is these cancer-specific compounds that dogs are sensing. If the sensing mechanism of the dog can be mimicked and these cancer-specific compounds can be identified, artificial cancer detection assays and technologies can be developed that detect cancer in someone's body at a much earlier stage. Is the olfactory system of the dog the result of random chance, or is it designed? And that was by Dr. Doug. You can visit his website at starfishsense.com. So I'm saying any dog involved or any involved dog person will already know this. It's not new news to them. Those who participate in doing nose work with their dogs in an organized training fashion use essential oils as part of the training. Now, I know this kind of brain work for dogs is a great way to help them build confidence and also to release pent-up energy, probably a lot of times far more effectively than a whole lot of exercise. Some dogs, like my Carolina dog puppy Ezra, don't get tired from all the exercises. They're so high energy, agile, highly intelligent dogs, so engaging in play, hide and seek, those kind of things, those help tire him more effectively. He's also still a puppy, so he's even more energized than a mature dog. Oy. I've not done the nose work yet, but definitely want to. He reacts really funny. In fact, he reacts a lot like Shotzi to the intensity of the essential oils. So everything's diluted with him and very gentle. So like I say, I've applied to myself first. He's just funny. But some of them, like the white light, he likes, and he likes vetiver. Anyway, I do hope to get to the point where we can have the time to just do that nose work with him. I think it would be really awesome, and I know people that do it. There's an article that I link here in this blog post, which you can read, and it's called, it's titled, How Your Dog Creates Mental Pictures Through Scent. I also have a couple other, I have the courses and the Be Well book, as you've heard on this podcast, and then links to the other dogs on my website if you want to read more about them there and how everything went with them, and an article I wrote called The Color of Scent. Yeah, I did say The Color of Scent, so you might want to have a read at that too. So that's all for this time, and remember, you guys, and that's all for this series as well. When you know him, when you know the truth, then the truth will make you free.
Thank you for listening, and be well, yo. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. 3 John 1:2. Visit my website at aspenbloompetcare.com to read the blog and the articles, to become part of my essential oils team, and just to learn more. The Doggone Truth Podcast is a production of Aspen Bloom. All rights reserved and may not be resold or utilized in any way without express written permission by Aspen Bloom and Dr. Kim Bloomer. The information I share represents what I, an animal naturopath and an independent distributor of Young Living Essential Oils, have chosen to do to take charge of my own personal health and that of my family and pets. Information learned here is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not meant to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, but rather to motivate you to make your own health care and dietary decisions and those of your pets, based upon your own research and in partnership with your health care providers. I encourage you to dig in and make your own informed decisions through your own personal responsibility, research, application, and due diligence. Thank you.